In this chapter of the Word of God, we read of the state of the unsaved human heart. And in that state, there is no time for God in their lives. Described in verse 14 as scornful men. Those that pour scorn on the Word of God. Those that maybe know it exists. Those that hear it, but they have no time for it. Now, I know some of you here today. I don't know all of you. But I wonder what the state of your heart is this morning. And I wonder when I read this book, do you think, oh, well, there's that book again. Well, I'll not be listening to that. Or maybe you think, well, don't really like what I hear in it. Maybe you think disparagingly about it. People like that feel they have no need for repentance. No need to turn from their sin. And even when it comes to death and eternity, they see no reason to turn to the Lord. If you listen to the words, foolish words, arrogant words in verse 15, we have made a covenant with death. Well, these are mighty people. They have been able to make a covenant with death. In other words, they will decide when they die. Nobody else has control of their death. I'll decide. With hell are they at agreement? Oh, even eternity. Oh, I'll have myself sorted out for eternity. I don't need to listen to this book. I have it all sorted out. I've got my own way to God. Isn't that what people say? There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And that's exactly what we read in the book of Proverbs, and we read it twice. God saw fit to put it in twice. And then as we go on, it shall come not upon us when the overflowing scourge shall pass through. In other words, when judgment comes, that's not going to touch me. They say, all these things happen to other people. Will not happen to me. People die around you. Young die, the middle-aged die, and the elderly. Oh, it's not going to happen to me. We have made lies a refuge. These are people who have thought this isn't true. These people who have tried to convince themselves that this isn't the Word of God. That I don't need to have anything to do with it. I can sort myself out myself. And they have lied to themselves so long. They have made it their refuge. In other words, they have got to the point where they've started to believe themselves. And they have hid themselves under that falsehood. Hiding under a raft of lies. And yet, how foolish they are. I wonder, have you made lies your refuge? You know, there are many people in this world today who want to tell you lies. And I shouldn't need to tell you that. Can you believe everything you hear in the press? Can you believe everything that people around you tell you? The only thing that we can absolutely depend on that is not lying or falsehood is the Word of God. People, even in this condition, some of them like to come to church. Sometimes they like to have their ears tickled, like to hear interesting things. But you know, there are people today, and they say with, I think it's in the book of Isaiah, prophecy unto us smooth things. In other words, when the preacher comes to preach, you know, we want peaches and cream. We don't want to hear about sin. We don't want to hear about repentance. We don't want to hear that we need to get right with God. Prophecy unto us smooth things. Is that what you feel like when this man comes into the pulpit every Sunday morning? I hope he goes nice smooth things this morning. That he doesn't ruffle us or ruffle our feathers. That he doesn't give us a wee prod that maybe we need. I wonder this morning, is this a picture of you, your life and your thinking? No time for the Word of God. Oh, you want to live forever. Because that's the way, that's the attitude you have to life. You're not planning on dying. So why would you make preparation for eternity? Lord's response in verse 17, judgment also will I lay, to the line and righteousness to the plummet. Your covenant with death shall be disannulled. In other words, this idea that you think you can plot with death and get the better of it, disannulled. The Lord's going to wipe it out. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, ye shall be trodden down. Oh, this judgment that's coming, it will stop right in the front of your door. That's not going to pass by. These judgments are not just for other people. These judgments are for everyone who remains in an unsaved state. For the time that it goeth forth, verse 19, shall take you, and morning by morning it shall pass over you, and day and by night. Verse 15, for the bed is shorter than a man can stretch himself on it, and the covering narrower than he can wrap himself in it. These covenants with death. These agreements with hell and eternity. They're like a bed that's too short. There's no rest in it. They're like a blanket that just won't wrap around you. Some of us need a bigger blanket than others. But when it just doesn't wrap around and it's not very warm, it's no good. That's what the Lord is saying here. But you know, the wonderful thing is in verse 16, the Lord enters the picture here. Verse 16, therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a foundation, a stone. A tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a true foundation, and he that believeth shall not make haste. In other words, there's Christ. He is the answer. He's the answer to those who think that they're going to make this covenant with death and they're never going to die. He's the answer to those who think that they have eternity sorted out their own way. The Lord is the one who is the true foundation for your life. The only one who can sort you out for eternity. His judgment and righteousness sweep away the lies. And it is, as we come to my text this morning, a wonderful thing that even for such people, there is still mercy and grace extended. My text is found in verse 24, and it's preceded by an exhortation. Give ye ear and hear my voice. Hearken and hear my speech. So as we sit in God's house this morning, the Lord is saying unto you, and he's saying to me, give ye ear. In other words, listen up. I haven't brought you here today just to sit here and think about tomorrow or think about next week. Give ear. Hear my voice. Have you ever heard the voice of God? Maybe you've come here this morning and you're determined not to hear it. Hear my speech. What does the Lord say? Verse 24, which is my text. Doth the ploughman plough all day to sow? Doth he open and break the clods of his ground? Maybe think a strange thing for a harvest. There is never a harvest unless there's preparation, unless there's sowing. And the mercy of God here is that in these hearts that he has described, these hearts that have no time for him, these hearts that have no time for his word, he says, I'm going to work on them. I'm just not going to let you get to your destructive ways. I'm going to work on them. I'm going to work on them as a farmer or as a ploughman prepares his field. If your heart is in this unconverted stage today, the Lord is saying, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to work on your heart as the farmer works on a field, that he might plant the seed, that there might be a good harvest. And you thank the Lord that he's still prepared to work with you like that. So first of all, this divine ploughman. First of all, there is the ploughing or the preparation. When the farmer goes into the field at the beginning of the season, there's no point in him bringing a big sack of grain and walking into this field and scattering it round. Well, you might think in this part of the world that you'd be soft enough. Some of you farmers can complain bad enough about how soft the ground is and how, well, you know all about it. Some of you are already smiling. with where this is in the east. When it comes to the spring, when they would prepare the harvest, that ground has been baked hard. It's like concrete. There's no, it doesn't yield anything. The seed would just sit on the top. The heat would burn it to a crisp if the birds didn't take it away. And maybe that's how the word of God has come to your heart. It only just sits on the surface till something takes it away. You won't let it get in. Well, the Lord says, I'm going to make sure it gets in. I'm the divine plowman. A great deal of work has to be done upon the land in order to break up the ground. The soil in the east was dry, unyielding. He had to break up the ground. He had to break up those clods. He had to root out stubborn weeds. He had to remove stones and rocks. Verse 25, make plain the face. In other words, he had to level it out. Didn't take half an hour to do this either. Doth the ploughman plough all day? He just doesn't go into the field and take a wee hoe, give it a wee touch, that'll do. He spends all day. The day of your life. You think, oh, well, I'm young. I'm middle-aged. Dangerous thing to call yourself middle-aged. Reverend Allen, my home minister, he used to say, people at 55, that's where I am, he says, they say they're middle-aged. He says, there's not too many 110-year-olds running about. So I'm not middle-aged. This man's just about there. He lives to 110. So middle age is closer than you think. And maybe some of you are well into it or well through it. And you're into the latter day, part of the day of your life. But the Lord ploughs all day. As long as it takes to break up the hardness of your heart. Because God is in the business of planting for a harvest. He asked the question in this text, doth the ploughman plough all day? But there's more to sow. What does he plough for? Why does he go into the field? Why does he break it up? Because he wants to sow. Because he wants a harvest. A good harvest. Striking parallel here to the dry heart. An unprepared soil. That is the unconverted heart. A heart that's dry, hard, resists the word of God. Even though the word of God may be sown in it, it just sits on the top. Remember the parable of the sower. That which fell the wayside, the birds took it away. The fires of sin have burned so long in your life that your heart's now so hard and indifferent to the word of God. You know, those of you who are not saved in this meeting, when you heard the word of God first, it probably made you shudder. But you know, maybe now you're an expert. You're an absolute professional coming to church, listening to the word of God, and it doesn't make you flinch now. You've cracked it. Do you know what you've done? You've made a covenant with death. You have made an agreement with hell if you can sit in the service and hear the word of God and it run like water off a duck's back. What a desperate position to be in. The fires of sin that you have permitted in your life have brought you to that hardness of heart. But the good news is to this morning, the Lord's not going to let you go. The Lord's not going to leave you there. He is going to enter the field of your heart. And he's going to do something about it. When the farmer wants to sort the ground out, he has to take the plough. Now, forgive me if I get the farming implements wrong, or I don't know much about, I know more about organs than I know about ploughing. There's the plough and there's the harrow and sometimes even the rotavator. I fancy the rotavator seems to do it all at once. Seems like a good idea. But what does the Lord use to break up the ground of the unconverted heart? the blade of conscience. Father's instruction, and you think back to what my father taught me, and you're not walking that way. You think of the times your mother prayed for you, maybe she's gone. It still tugs at you. Sabbath school teacher and pleading with you to come to the Saviour. The children's meeting, gospel missions, missed opportunities, the time when maybe in the past God spoke to your heart and you knew what you need to do, but you just wouldn't take that step. You said no. Blade of conscience. Then there's the harrow of trouble. You know, sometimes the Lord, when he speaks, you know, he treats us like children. When a child disobeys and does something, they don't do that. And if they stop, everything's fine. You don't need to go any further. The speaking is enough. But maybe the Lord has spoken to you and the speaking hasn't been enough. Well, when the child, we have to do something more. Maybe we have to lift the hand in spite of political correctness. Because it's scriptural. Do you not think the Lord has to lift his hand? Oh, it's when you won't listen to what he says. He has to lift the hand. He has to bring trouble. He has to bring heartache and pain. Lovely gospel hymn. Sin will take you further than you want to go. And sin will cost you far more than you want to pay. But if your heart is going to receive the word of God, sometimes God has to lift his hand to you. You know, you think, oh, this is terrible. And you think, why me? Why am I in this trouble? And why is this happening to me? And why is my life not like other people's lives? And why is everything so miserable? Have you ever thought that the Lord is bringing you down so that you realize you can't live this life on your own? That your agreement with death is of no value at all? That your agreement with hell, it doesn't stand. He has to do something to make you listen. Then there's the ply of the Word of God. The Word of God is described as a sharp sword. Quick, powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword. Have you sat under the sound of the gospel and it's just as if someone has taken a sword and they're just thrusting it into your heart and shaking it around? It's not the preacher that has done that. The preacher cannot, spiritually speaking, the preacher cannot of his own power or oratory or knowledge or anything cause that to happen. But God's word can. And it's good that it can. To make plain the face of the ground in verse 25. Do you know the word there in the Hebrew means it can to make it agreeable. So when the Lord comes into the harvest field of your heart, he wants to make it agreeable. And sometimes he has to stick the sword in. And sometimes he has to send trouble. But it's just to make you agreeable to receive his word. Because maybe today you're not agreeable. Maybe the last thing that you want in this meeting this morning is to hear this at all. Doth the ploughman plough all day? Yes. Isn't it good that he does? Isn't it good that there's a heavenly ploughman preparing your heart? Because he wants a harvest in your life. Not a harvest of destruction. Because that's the end without doing anything about it. He wants on that great day when he comes back to gather you as one of his jewels and bring you to glory. The purpose of the sowing. Doth the ploughman plough all day to sow? Yes. He doesn't just break up this ground for the sake of it. He just doesn't go out into the ground and say, ah, well, it could do with a good digging, and when it's all dug, it'll look lovely. I'll go back and put my feet up. The whole purpose of being in the field, the whole purpose of breaking it up, the whole purpose of taking away the stones and the weeds, all the rest of it, because he looks forward to that day when he takes that big sack of grain. And it's probably done with a tractor or some implement now, but my father talked about the fiddle. Suppose you young people would know, think of fiddle something like this. There was this instrument that my father always talked about in the pit. There was some sort of a hopper with the grain in it. And yet this bow went back and forward and it scattered all the grain. There's a wee spinner on it. But the farmer, oh, he just longed for that day. And all the work was done and he could plant it. Because once it was planted, he knew there was going to be a harvest. But he knew there was not going to be a harvest unless the ground was prepared. The whole purpose of the Lord coming into the field of your life is in order that he would plant his word in it and that that word would bring forth fruit in your lives. Doth the ploughman plough all day to sow? All the effort, all that the Lord does in your heart, all the trouble he permits to come into your life, always, not to make you miserable, because a lot of people, as soon as trouble comes into their heart, oh, why did God do that? It's God's fault. When Columbine High, all those young people were slaughtered, why did God allow that? Where was God in that? I'll tell you where God was in that. In 1966, the Americans banned God from their schools. They stopped any religious instruction in their schools. God was put outside the door, so don't complain about asking where God was when something happened when you put him out. If you have put God out of your life and trouble happens to you, don't you lift your fist to God and say, why did God do that? God's not in your life. You have put him out. And yet, the trouble that he sends was never vindictive, was never in order to make you feel terrible. Always. Always with the purpose of softening your heart, that the seed of his word would find a place in your heart and you would be saved. Never does the Lord do something to us that is not designed to bring us to himself. And the Lord knows just how hard your heart is. He knows exactly what force is required. He will plough no deeper than is needed, but he will plough as deep as is needed. He will break no harder than is needed. Have you ever noticed a field and the barley has come up and it's a nice breezy day and it's all blowing and swaying, but there's just one part of that field. There's nothing growing. And there might be rocks up. It didn't yield to the efforts of the farmer. Well, he tried his best, but wouldn't work. The ground would not yield to the implements. The rest of the ground did. And now it's 2 foot high with this barley blowing in the breeze. But there's that spot in the middle, and it's barren. Wouldn't it be a terrible thing that if the word of God was sown in your the word of God came to your heart and the Lord ploughed that field of your heart and you continually said no, no, no. And you're that part of that barren field. The seed never got in. What was put on the surface, the birds ate. There is no harvest coming. There's no good harvest coming of that area in the field. My friend, if you continually resist the efforts of the divine ploughman in your heart, you'll be like that patch. No fruit, no harvest, no heaven. Irrespective of your agreement with hell, irrespective of your bargaining with death, you'll be that part of the field that's doomed. And finally, the prize, reaping. Soil is yielded to the working of the ploughman. Good seed springs up into new life. Where there was dryness and barrenness, now there's freshness and vitality. You know, there are young people in this world and they say, I want to enjoy life. I want life. And they look for it in the wrong place. They look for it in the world and they don't find it there. The Lord said when he came into the world and he was preaching, I am come that ye might have life and that ye might have it more abundantly. If you're looking for life, you'll find it in Christ. You'll not find it in the world. I'm up and out in Galvin occasionally at night, and I see the results of what the world has offered. Those that are cutting themselves, those that are taking overdoses, those young people that are depressed and suicidal, you don't know what to do with them. That's what the world gives you. There may be transient joy, there may be transient kicks, but only lasts a short time. But when the Lord gives us life, he gives us life more abundantly. So I wonder this morning, what's your heart like? No, if you're saved, that's great. You know, nothing would delight my heart more than to know that you were saved and walking with the Lord. That's the whole purpose of me being a minister. That's where I want to see people at. Maybe you're cold at heart and you've lost the joy. That's a miserable place to be. The most miserable person is the one who knows what the joy of the Lord is and doesn't have it anymore. Because those who are unsaved don't know how good it is. But you do, because you once walked with the Lord and you once had that joy. You need to come back to him. Start walking with him again. But if you're not saved, and you have been resisting the word, and you know in your heart that you have this idea in your head that I never die, or what happens to the next door, not happen to me. I have watched too many young people die, too many children die, not to realize that death comes very unexpectedly. One of my biggest jobs when I'm on at night, I'm not on every night, just occasionally, 3 times, sometimes 4 times, I'm out to certify somebody dead. Some nights I see more dead people than I see living people. Because everybody dies. And more, and I'm only 55, more and more, they're younger than me. 30. 25. 20. Dead. Some unexpectedly, some through illnesses. You don't think that you get this, the 3 score and 10 is the average. It's not the certainty. So you remember, if your heart is soft, all that the word does to you is in the hand of that divine plowman to soften you, to show you what he wants to do for you. That this word will stop sitting on the top of your heart. That it'll get in. And that you will accept the Lord as Savior. We talked about what the Lord does to you in order to save you. Never forget, the only reason he can save you is because he died on the cross for you. He paid the debt that your sin deserves. He took the hell that you should have. And because of that, he wants you to have that life. And he wants to give it to you free. So come to him today. And don't let a harvest pass without the word of God being sown. Not only sown, but bring forth fruit in your life so that you're saved and ready for that great harvest. And it'll not be bringing a trailer into some silo pit, but bringing God's people home with him for all eternity. Amen.